Parshat Emor deals with two topics primarily, that of the laws of the Kohen, of the priests, and of the Chagim, the laws having to do with the festivals, with the holidays. I'd like to take a look at one phrase that we find in our Parsha. Pasuk tells us, the Kohen who is exalted above his brethren, Va'kohen ha'gadol me'echav, upon whose head the anointment oil has been poured, or has been inaugurated to don the vestment, shall not leave his head unshorn, and shall not rend his garments. He shall not come near any dead person. He shall not contaminate himself to his father or mother. Right, the regular Kohanim are allowed to contaminate themselves to their closest relatives. The Kohen Gadol cannot. And the Kohen Gadol is unique as well, as pointed out in Source 5, that they can only marry a woman who has never been married before. So he's a Gadol Me'achav, he is above everyone else, and his laws are different than everyone else. Source 2 points out, a Kohen Gadol assumes office in one of two ways, by being anointed with the oil anointment prepared by Moshe, or simply by donning the vestments of the office. This is derived from our verse, which speaks of both anointment and wearing the vestments. And indeed, as the Minchas Mechal, Rav Revivo points out in source number 4, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was gadol b'nevuah, we call the Nevi'im, he was greater than all the other prophets, Moshe Aaron was gadol b'nevuah shel kahuna. His greatness was that in kahuna, and he had both elements. He had the elements of Moshe Rabbeinu pouring the anointment oil on his head, as well as that Moshe Rabbeinu don't clothe the garments on Aaron. And each time he clothed him, he gave him that special capacity and quality that each one of the clothes represent, which is not our discussion for today. The Medrash asks, Lama nikra shmo Kohen Gadol? Why is he called the Kohen Gadol, the great Kohen? Shugadol b'chamisha dvari. He's great, the Medrash tells us, in five ways. B'chochma, in wisdom. B'koach, in his strength. He was great in his yofi, in his beauty. He was great in his ashirus, in his ability to be rich. And b'shanim, in years, or in that quality as well. And again, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what was so special about the Kohen that he had these, b'koach, b'noi, b'chochma, b'osher, that he had these qualities of strength, of beauty, of wisdom, of wealth, and the fact that if he wasn't wealthy, the Kohanim gave him money that he should be wealthy. So our first question we need to ask is, why are these qualities necessary for the Kohen? Why does he need physical strength? Why does he need beauty? Right? Can a Kohen not be noyed? Can he not be pleasing? That's the first question we need to ask. And the second question, which is going to be our overarching question, is what does the concept of gadol mean? Right? We say this by a bris. Zeh ha-katan gadol yiyeh. This child, this little thing, gadol yiyeh, should be big. We're not saying that he should be 6 foot four. That's not our bracha. Our bracha is he should be a gadol. We speak about gadol Yisrael, the great people of Israel, the great scholar. What does it mean to be a gadol? Unless one thing, that this is only applicable to men, no. We have a pasuk in the fourth chapter of Melachim Beis, where Elisha went through the city of Shunem, Visham Isha Gdola, and there was a great woman who opened up her home and provided for Elisha. So the idea of godless, of greatness, is not only an appellation found by men, it's found by women as well. And the question is, well, what are the qualities that make the Kohen Gadol? I understand that the Gemara talks about b'chochma, b'koach, b'noah, b'osher, these qualities. But in general, what distinguished the Kohen to be a gadol, to be a great person? And can we be able to extrapolate from some of these ideas, albeit we're not Kohanim Gdolim, but how we can access godless greatness, or as we call the sheer galvanizing greatness in our own lives? And that's really the overall question. And our final question, which we'll touch on, which is really a shiur in its own right. We'll just touch on it on each of the three levels of Mirat Hashem, is what's the idea that the Kohen Gadol could not come in contact with anyone who has died? All right, the mitzvah is the exception. But any of his relatives that died, he's not allowed to leave the Mikdash. He has to stay in the sanctuary constantly. What is it about the Kohen Gadol that makes him unique in this aspect? First and foremost, when we talk about a Kohen being somebody of noi, of beauty, of appearance, we need to understand that this is an important quality. Even before we talk about godless greatness, let's just take a look from an external point of view of what the Kohen looks like, and then we'll get into our discussion on three levels of Mirat Hashem of what godless greatness is about. If we take a look just from purely an external point of view, Rav Belsky Tzatzal in Enei Yisrael points out in Source 6, a sage has to live up to the status he has in the eyes of others, and this confers upon him a solemn responsibility, which he cannot forget for a moment. He has to engender a feeling of trust and respect in the people among whom he circulates. A Kohen similarly represents Avodas Hashem. He must also dress in a manner that will bring honor to the one who he serves. And that's why it was the Chavod L'Tiferet. It was honor and glorious, the clothes that he donned. Attention to one's personal appearance is often seen as superficial. Continuing in 7, we are taught to emphasize the panemius, the inner world of Avodas Hashem, to downplay the importance of image. There's a tendency to take this attitude to an extreme. And this is a mistake. It's important that a person consider the effect he has on others. He should therefore seek to present himself in a way and the arrow that when one sees him, they should say, this is a Ben Torah should look. First impressions create an immediate impression, which in turn deeply affects a long-term impression. Carrying out one's duties when properly groomed shows that one understands that he's involved in Melechus Shemayim, that all he does for Ribbono Shel Olam. So first and foremost, when we talk about noi, we talk about beauty. It's not just physical beauty, it's the way he presents himself. It's the way he grooms himself. That this is something that makes an impression on people and has a tremendous effect. Every person possesses the attribute of admiration. The Jew is bid to channel his admiration toward those personalities who embody the Torah and desire to cling to Hashem. That's why the Asara Ruge Malchus are called the Adirei HaTorah, who are known as Arzei Alavano, the cedars of Lebanon. You know what the cedars are about? It's graceful, it's majestic, it has a certain glory to them. This is why the heroes of Torah are the cedars of Lebanon. They are shield-bearing warriors. What is there about the quality of great Torah scholars that cause this special admiration? So unlike the Gentiles, who legendary heroes are usually those who have distinguished themselves in various acts of warfare and mass murder, the Jewish people look towards men of wisdom, compassion, and spirit as our role models, and that makes a tremendous difference. And indeed, as he continues in Source 9, Rav Belsky Tzatzal, that we know a person, the Ish Lefi Mahalalo, Shlomo HaMelech tells us we know a person by what he praises. This can be gauged according to whom he praises. The type of person he praises reflects his value system and his image of the world, and emphasizes all that he holds to be noble and valuable. If his praise for entertainer and sportsmen, who despite possessing undoubted talents, have the most despicable personal mitos, then this reveals much about what he holds to be important in this world. On the other hand, if the person whom he admires and praises is an Ish Kadosh, a Ben Torah, who is good muyos, who never would harm or embarrass another person, who has respect and regard for other people, this reflects a higher vision of the world. And this is what we want a person to look up to. And we know a human being who comports himself according to Torah, who's devoted his life to Kadosh Baruch, who represents him in all that he does, inspires others to likewise reach for greatness. And that's the admiration is important. We're not talking about veneration. We're not talking about idolize a person. A person's human. We know that. But when I admire somebody, I admire the good traits. The litmus test, really, says Rafalsky, of the type of person whom I admire is somebody who's going to try to engender within me to have similar traits, to try to engender within me to try to reach similar heights. Not, you know, look, I am on top of the world and you can never reach, come close to me. No, but rather, I'd like you to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, who would allow all the people to be Nevi'im. That's the attitude that we need to have. So first and foremost, as the introduction to our study, godless of a person, greatness of a person is, there's an outer effect that a person has on others, and there is this admiration that people have for other people, and we have to recognize that when a person is admired, they need to be admired for their character traits, for their greatness, and this is something that we need to reflect on for ourselves and for our family. Who are our heroes? Who do our kids hang up in their lockers or in their rooms? Are they the Gedolei Yisrael? Or are they, you know, sports figures or rock stars or Kveis, Lahavdil? Who are they? And that just gives you a sense of what type of values that we are dealing with. Once we understand this, now let's try to work on what does a Gedol mean? So obviously, Noi, physical impression, is definitely one quality. I'd like to take a look at the three aspects which the Maharal frequently speaks about, that in any area we have to focus in on our relationship with Hashem, ben adam l'mokom, our relationship with others, ben adam l'chaveiro, and ben adam l'atzmo, our relationship with ourselves. And we'll see that when we're talking here about godless, let's take a look at the Kohen Gadol, and by extension, for our own lives, what are aspects of godless greatness in relations in all three areas. We'll begin with the Chikrei Lev in source number 11 and 12, where he asked, how is it possible for Kohen Gadol, who lost a parent, not to mourn and to continue the avodah as nothing happened? And he says, the ability to reach almost a superhuman height is based on the understanding that there's shlosha shutzvim hein ba'adam. There are three partners, the Gemara in Kedushin says, in a person. Hashem, a father, and a mother. And the father and mother give primarily the guf, the physical body, and Hashem gives the neshama. What Aaron HaKohen and what the Kohanim Gerolim are supposed to do is to work his whole life, Kedeshim Lishmato Tiyeh HaBechora. What's going to be the essence of who he is? And that's going to be the spiritual part of himself. That he was, to a certain degree, more connected to the spiritual than to the physical. And that's why a person who reaches this level is really Shishimesh Ke'ish Kesher V'Nekresh Baruch Hu L'Olamo. He's like a bridge, a link between Kivyachol Hashem and this world, where the Shefa Shel Chaim, where the whole fountain of life comes through him. And therefore, he has such an important role. He can't leave the Beis HaMikdash. He is internally linked to the spiritual part of self. And because of that, he becomes a fountain, a Makor Chaim, a reservoir of life, not only for himself, but for the entire world. And as the Chinuch continuing right above 14 notes, the Kohen Gadol was Kodesh Kedoshim. Even though he was a physical body, his nefesh, tishkon tamid, b'toch ha-mishartim ha-yonim, his soul was like among the angelic world, ki mirod ve'ekuto nafsho l'mala, yitpashet l'gamri miteva b'nei ish, v'yashkich b'libo kol esek ha-olam hazeh nifsad. He was somebody, albeit in the physical world, who wasn't attached to the physical world. He was in a different dimension, in a different world, and he lived his life in that dimension. We know this, that many great Gedolei Yisrael had wives who would take care of all the business aspects and the banks, where they didn't even know some of the Gedolim, well, what was the currency, this coin or that coin. Now you'll say to me, well, that's extreme, you have to live in this world. Yes, you have to live in this world, but you have a great Ezer Konecta who can help you live in this world. That's one way of living in this world, right? These are people who are totally into the spiritual dimension. And you see this by the woman in what we quoted before, the Isha Shunamit, where when her son died, and she asked her husband to give her a donkey. She's going up to see Elisha. He said, Lo Chodesh Velo Shabbat. It's not Rosh Chodesh, not Shabbos. What are you doing? And the Svarim speak about how she would go constantly. She didn't allow, Lo Chodesh Velo Shabbat, it's not only Rosh Chodesh. She didn't allow a lapse of time to transpire before she went to the Navi to get inspired, to get Yirat Shamayim. This is somebody who's living, well-being in the very physical world, but very much the priorities are the spiritual world. And indeed, we know in Source 16 that this Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kedoshim, into the Holy of Holies, where the Pasuk says, the Chol Adam Lo Yiyeh, no person should be in the Holy of Holies. Well, how could he be there? No one's allowed in the Holy of Holies, because he wasn't a person. He was more angelic. Ah, if that's the case, so ask the Chikre Lev in Source 14, well, hold on a second, wasn't Aaron HaKohen also known for Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, Ohev Etzarios, Makarva LaTorah, that he loved peace, pursued peace, and brought people closer to the Torah? How does that stem with the fact that he's off in this spiritual high? So he notes here, and this is the key, that great gedolim, albeit that there are in that spiritual bubble, and we'll develop this a little bit more on the second level, are very much concerned about the physical world, and particularly they look at it from the perspective of a Kodesh Baruch Hu kivyachol. Ava zu yoneket midvei kutom uchletet, double underline 14, biboret. He, on the highest level, would be able to imitate his Kodesh Baruch Hu in the way that Hashem is so concerned about his creatures. Aaron HaKohen was likewise mirroring kivyachol Hashem, being in that high spiritual state, that he was also concerned with Hashem's creatures. And he was concerned that Hashem's people would come closer to him, and that they would have shalom and reyus, friendship among them. And of course he was involved with the people, but he was involved with the people coming from a spiritual perspective. And that's what we have to understand, was the greatness of Aaron HaKohen was living the gadol, the godless of Aaron. I mean, HaMikdash Lo Yetzei, he didn't leave the Beit HaMikdash. He lived in a spiritual bubble. His mindset was in a spiritual bubble. Albeit that was true, he was able to interact with people down here from the perspective of the spiritual bubble. As the Talmid Chaim, the Chalban, notes in 17, Shakohen HaGadol Me'achav Hu HaShoresh HaPnimi Biyoter Shel Olameinu. He was the core of our world. V'Kli Machzik Bracha Lamshich HaTarot HaPnimim V'Alyonim Biyoter. He was the conduit to bring down blessing from heaven. And he quotes here in the Arrow of the Shla Kadosh that says that Aaron and the other Kohani, which is, again, a topic in its own right, were here to Mimitake Chet Adam HaRishon, to try to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon, which means that the Kohanim were told not to come near people who had died, which was the result of the sin of Adam HaRishon, Kedei L'Taken B'Zor Nechei Adam HaRishon, because their whole job was Me'irim Et HaNeshama, V'Heim Nochamim V'Chol Masa Muvat Shal Mavet Shal Peruf Shkuf Neshama. This is the key line here, that the Kohanim, particularly the Kohen Gadol, was very much into, let's attach the body and the soul together. Let's bring people from the physical world to the elevated higher spiritual world. When you bring body and soul together, there is no place for death. As we know, the Ramchal said, why did death come into the world? It came as a consequence. Once Adam HaRishon ate and disobeyed Hashem, he created a wall between his body and his soul. The job of the Kohen was to reconnect body and soul together. When body and soul are reconnected, there's no place for death in this world. And hence, the Kohanim stayed away from the whole concept of death, because that was the antithesis of what they were about, where they brought life into this particular world. And as Rav Rivlin points out in Yonei Parshan, source number 19, quoting the Rabbeinu Bachaye, after we talk about the laws of the Kohen, the regular Kohen, we then bring in the Kohen Gadol, the double underline, Shumikudash Upnimi Yoter. That's probably the greatest definition of a Gadol, is somebody who lives a holy life and an inner life. Miyuchad Lavoda Shashem Lo Yamish Mitoch HaMikdash, whose whole focus is spirituality. You take a look at the Gadol HaYisrael, What are they thinking about all day? They're thinking about Lahavdil baseball, or some of them even don't know what it is. What are they thinking about all day? They're in the world of Torah, and the Olam HaShel Torah, the whole focus is a spiritual focus. So, albeit a person may not, a woman, have a chiyuv in Torah, but their whole focus needs to be in Yiras Shamayim. How can I bring myself in this world to a higher level of godliness in this world? And one's whole focus is on connecting oneself, whether it's through davening, tehillim, through chesed, whatever it is that's going to bring me that, my whole mindset, my whole focus is to be able to bring myself onto this level, onto this pitch. Now, don't get me wrong with what I'm about to say. I don't want it to be misunderstood. I am sharing a personal story here. I am on the level of godless, what we call a wannabe, which is okay. It's also a madrega. I remember a number of years, and again, don't misunderstand the story. A number of years ago, someone suggested, we have a gemach, a book library, someone suggested this great novel to read. So I read the novel in the summer to relax, and I will tell you, it took me a good 3 weeks to be able to come back into my shiurim. I felt like there was an interference going on in my brain that I read a lot, but I read, you know, Svarim. And I felt like, you know, I had cut off that ability just to focus. It was hard to get back into it. Because, again, where you are, what you do, there's nothing wrong about reading novels, and there's some great novels. But the novels should bring you to a level that's going to elevate you. And, again, you know, every person's wired differently. And that's what we're talking about. A gadol is mukdash upnimi. They're focused. They're very clearly focused in on the spiritual attainments. And as he notes here in 21, Rav Kupperman's footnotes on the Meshech Chochma, that the Kohen Gadol wasn't just a regular Kohen on a different level. No. He says, the reason a regular Kohen wasn't able to go in to be Mitame Lameitim was because of his job in the temple. He couldn't contaminate himself with someone who had died. By the Kohen Gadol, it's a whole different level. It's not a question of his job in the Beis Hamikdash. He was secluded. He had his bodhidos. He connected with Hashem. He was on a totally different level. So idea number one, when we talk about a Kohen Gadol, a great Kohen, what does it mean he's a great Kohen? It means that he excelled in this area of godless, in Ben Adam L'Makom, where he was Kadosh Uprimi. He lived in inner existence. He lived in existence where he worked on making the spiritual the focus of his life and trying to engender in others that their focus in life should be the spiritual and not get caught into the physical world that we live in. The godless, the greatness of such a person is living a pnimi world. It's living a world with a different reality, with a different pair of glasses, where he's measuring everything in spiritual terms and not just in physical terms of physical pleasures. And that's a high level that we need to attain. And again, you know, what comes to my mind, and I'm sure a lot of our minds, and we'll see this more clearly in level two, is Rabbi Tzemach L'Saleh Shalom, where if you read the great book, which I recommended you read, if you haven't, please do, of Sari Yochevin Rigler, she spoke about how Rabbi Tzemach was davening for everything, because she was completely connected to Hashem. That's godless. That even though, you know, it's that one of the stories they bring down where she was short barley. Now, for me to be short barley, it's just a small family, can I know, it's not a big deal. When they're short barley for 100 people in their Shabbos Hachnasat Orchim. So it's Erev Shabbos, the stores are closed, and the kids are like, well, where are we going to get barley from? And she says, I'm not worried, Hashem will provide. And that was her focus. And a short while later, somebody came from America and said, I know, it's hard for you to check barley. So I brought with me a whole duffel bag of barley. Like, you know, out of nowhere. Like, who would think to bring a duffel bag of barley? This is pshat. If you're connected to that olam ha-pnimi, that inner upper world, so tefillah is your medium of connection to be able to look at the world that Hashem has provided. Right? Hayat Hashem tiksar. Can Hashem, you know, not provide? Of course he can. Nothing stops Hashem. That's living in a world where the focus is so clearly spirituality and not just physicality. That's idea one. Idea number two. There's a beautiful idea Rav Sternbach brings down in Source 22. He says, Pershu Chazal, Gadlehu Mishel Achiv, he was greater than his brother, Bakahain HaGadol Me'achav, Ubamet Shekeinu, doesn't mean he was greater than his brothers. It means his greatness came from being able to help his brothers. A great tzaddik knows that the only reason that they got to the level they got to was ordered to help others. And to be able to influence their godliness on others. That's hagadol me'erchav. That you feel that you're in this position to help others. Not like, you know, I'm high and mighty and above everyone else, but to be able to influence others. This is the path of the great people in all generations. They run away from appointment. You know, in the secular world, people hire PR agents to make sure that their name appears in the paper so that they're well known. Gedolei Yisrael is the exact opposite. They don't look for this, you know, accolades and all of this greatness. Elim Kane, Sarah Chachayimu. But if the people need a leader, if the people need somebody to guide them, so they're doing it for them. She'az mitgadlim l'sharenit Yisrael b'shevetam. The greatness comes from how they can be able to influence others. Such a person is here in order to be able to affect other people. He's not here on an ego trip, lo alein, or she. It's all about the ben adam l'chaveiro, which is our second topic. 23, the Mishnah Sachir notes, Rav Tachtel, Hare da kohen hagadol tzarich liyot, tamid bechedva ubesimcha yaseira mikol adam. We talk about godless. You know what his godless, his greatness was? And this is another manifestation of noi, of outer beauty. He was always smiling. He was always happy. Upanev ya'ir. He had hadras panim. You ever seen a gadol? Their faces light up. And their smile, wow, gevaldik. V'lo ye'elav shum nignud atzvos v'rog zachas v'shom. And you don't even see a nignud, a iota of any anger, of any being upset. And he brings down here at the end in 23, the Gemara compares in Chulin, a Tamid Chacham, a great scholar, to the Kohen in this regard, the Kohen Gadol. V'azia Tamid Chacham b'simcha u'b'haras panim, a Tamid Chacham has to be always b'simcha, b'haras panim. And in that way, he can be able to influence others. What is the charisma? It's being able to have this level of simcha, this haraspani, which obviously we know comes from a full emunah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. When you live on that level of emunah, then you can exhibit it with this level of simcha and hadraspani. And he quotes here in 23 the Zohar, Bo'ra'ek Yalkoen Gadol Tzarich Tamid Larot Etzvo B'Yofi HaPanim U'V'Me'or HaPanim. That's what Yofi means. Yofi doesn't mean necessarily physical beauty. It's the beauty that is expressed by this Hadras Panim, with this joy, this radiance that comes out. V'Asur LaRobo Atzvos V'Kas El V'Chol Davar Yunei Kemo Ayin Shamala. You have to be able to have this higher level. Rabosai, the second level of godless, and my friends, whether we're a gadol or not, we can always work toward each one of these levels. And this, my friends, is so fundamental. What was the greatness of the Kohen Gadol? His ability to affect others. His ability to be able to interact with others. That joy, that hadras panim, that he was able just to infuse, just by looking at him, in other people. The Matnat Chaim Rav Yisrael Salman Shlita in his Sefer Ma'amarim in Source 24 takes this one step further. And he says we know that when Aaron met Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed, after the story of the snare, Chumash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that, you know, Aaron would feel bad. He wasn't appointed as a leader. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no. V'ra'achav v'samach b'libo. He will see you and he will be joyful in his heart. And the Medrash tells us, the one who was joyful in his heart is deserving to wear the choshen, the urim, the tumim, the breastplate where the stones lit up, alibo, on his heart. So the question is it just a linkage of phrases, on his heart? Absolutely not. We have here something much deeper than that. And that is, one who can feel the joy of somebody else has the ability to really understand another person. Such a person has the ability to wear the Urim V'Tumim because they see and they're sensitive and attuned to the needs of others. And he brings here the idea in the asterisk in 25 of Rav Chaim Shulevitz, who says, Lev rachav kazeh machil bekirbo midal yonashal simcha b'simcha zulato. The heart that is open and has that capacity to really be happy for somebody else, who amakom amatim likbo alavat urim v'tumim, that's the perfect heart to put the urim v'tumim in the breastplate. Why? Ki leiv zeh misugal argish el libo shel kol acham Yisrael, because he's able to be attuned to the heart of every Jew. Ve'leiv kulam yachad, and everyone. To get the correct answer by the Urim V'Tumim, you have to be able to really understand the one who's asking the question and what they really want. We know this to be true. So often when somebody asks us something, it's not what they're asking us. They're coming from a very deep place. And we have to be able to be attuned. What is it that their real needs are? And that's that famous story in 26 when Hannah is davening so, powerfully for a child. And Eli the Kohen says, Ad matai tishtakrin, until when are you going to stop, with your drunkenness? And she says, Lo Adonai, no, my master, I'm not drunk. Ani shaksha ruach anochi. I'm a very embittered woman. And when she says, Lo Adonai, this firm understanding, Lo Adonai tabatavar, you're not a master in this thing. Because if you would look at the Urim V'Tumim correctly, when the letters lit up, you wouldn't see it as the letters Shin Kaf Reish Hei, as Shikora. You would see it as a Kshera, someone who's appropriate, who's good. Or Kisara, like Sarah Imenu, who is barren, who's davening for the right thing. Now, obviously, Eli is Eli a Kohen on a very high level. But this is what we demand from the Kohen Gadol. Don't make assumptions. Don't look at somebody and immediately say, oh, they must be drunk. Be able to get to the depth of this person and see if this person is davening this way. It could be that they're drunk. Or it could be that there's something else going on here. If this is Elkanah, the Gadol Hador's wife, then there must be something here. Be able to enter into that mindset. That's what a Gadol is about. Omnam ben bigdei kahuna, ki nityached choshen ha-mishpat, double underline, liyora begera shiri karakavod va-tiferet yotzimimenu. This was the garment of glory. Moving back up to the asterisks, the lave iron, she shatef b'simchana zula kilu aita zot simchato, yishtatef gam b'tsar zula kilu b'tsaro. This was the hallmark of the Kohen, to be able to feel the joy of someone as if it's your joy, i.e. Aaron feeling that for Moshe, v'rachav v'samach libo, is happy as if it's happened to him. And likewise, lo aleinu, to feel the pain of somebody as if it's your own pain. This is the idea of v'nasa Aaron emishpat b'nei Israel. And Aaron carried, repeats that phrase twice, v'nasa Aaron emishpat b'nei Israel, because the carrying is not just the physical carrying of the clothes, it is the nosei be'olim chaveiro, it's to be able to carry the burden of somebody else, to feel the pain of somebody else. And again, as the Talmud Chaim notes in 27, Ra'inu shakohanim heima machanchim adolim, the Kohanim were the greatest of the educators. Ma'aminim b'chol uvavam b'am Yisrael, they believed intrinsically in the holiness of each and every Jew. Meleim b'ayin tovo b'lev rochum, they looked at a Jew with a good eye, with a positive eye, with a heart that was merciful. Ave Yisrael, Ave Hashem. They loved Klaus, or they loved Hashem. Makirim b'chol p'nimuteyam et ha'neshama shel Yisrael. They focused in on the soul of a Jew. U'b'kach mechabrim et Yisrael nishmatam and enabled a Jew to connect to their own soul. Asur lakonim lior nashim chitzoniim. Kohanim and the asterisks couldn't be external people. Anashim ro'im margishim et ha'guf lo neshama, to just look at the externality. This person looks like they're drunk, the way they're moving their hands and their lips. No, a Kohen couldn't focus in on the physical. He had without the neshama. This is the bechina of shel tumas meit. Why did they stay away from tumas meit? Because tumas meit, the impurity of the dead, the contamination is only looking at the body without the soul, because the soul is no longer there when a person dies. The greatness of the Kohanim was that they were able to see the potential Hagadol that was hidden within every person. This is godless. Godless, and again, I go back to Rabbi Samachlis as a woman and as a present-day example. She had the, what I would call, the strangest people. Rabbi Rigler notes this at the beginning of her book, of how do you describe these people. Okay, they're a little bit off the beaten track. Not that we define what beaten track is, but okay. As my good friend says, the definition of normal is a setting on your dryer. And I like that line a lot, and I use it a lot. Because who is normal? Okay, having set that aside, people externally who may not fit into our box of normalcy, she didn't see that. She saw their godless. She saw the greatness. She saw the potential hidden within them. You know, this is the Parshat Emor is always read around the time of Lag BaOmer. That was the greatness of Shimon Bar Yochai at the end of 28, that he was able to see the Pnimius of Torah, the inner aspects of Torah. And the inner aspects of Torah is that each and every one of us is a letter in the Torah. Each and every one of us has a Pnimius, an inner part. That's godless. That's why by Rav Shimar Yochai's Kever and Meiron, you have Amicha, you have all types of Jews there. Because that was the greatness of Rav Shimar Yochai. That's the greatness of being a Kohen, being able to see greatness in everybody, being able to draw out the goodness in others. And when one is able to see that goodness in others, when one is able to have that Ayin Tova, that good eye, one recognizes that one's here in this world in order to give to others, in order to move beyond self and beyond selfishness. What was the greatness of Aaron HaKohen? He was Oev et HaBrios. He loved people. He worked on bringing people closer to each other. He worked on giving, not just on taking. That's what a Gadol is. A Gadol b'Yisrael is concerned with each and every person where they're at. The Gadol b'Yisrael, that famous story of Ramosha Feinstein Zatzal, who would answer the question of this woman every week for years, what time lich was. He never says, well, why don't you just buy yourself a calendar? Maybe I'll buy you one. No, this is where this woman was at. Let me give to her. Let me see beauty. Not be annoyed, not be upset. This is what godless is all about. We've done before it's misquoted, mismarked here in 29. It is Rav Lef in Outlooks and Insights in 29. The Rav Freifeld is going to be source 30, Mirtz Hashem, 29, Rav Lef. The mark of a Gadol, a person who possesses greatness and maturity, is defined by the Torah in terms of ability to be concerned with others. Ribbono Shalom is called HaGadol, the Great. Chazal explained this appellation to refer to Hashem's trait of goodness and kindness. Therein lies his godless. His concern that envelops and permeates all existence is the mark of his unlimited greatness. Hence, he is HaGadol. We are exhorted to walk in Hashem's ways and emulate his attributes. As he is called merciful, so too you should you be merciful. Rav Shimon Shkop, in his preface to Shaar Yoshe, we've done this before, but I love this piece, addresses the following paradox. On the one hand, man was created with a natural concern for himself and his own personal needs. Love thy neighbor as thyself is predicated on self-love and self-concern. And yet we're told that we're supposed to love others. So how do we resolve this? So he says it depends on how you understand self, the definition of self. In the asterisks of 29, everyone possesses their ani, the essence of their being. As the Mishnah clearly states in Pirkei Avos, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? However, the definition of the selfhood can be expanded beyond the parameters of one's physical person. Many people feel that their spouses are part of themselves. Chazal therefore say that ourself includes not only our spouse, but our families as well. The more, and then neighbors, the more one perfects himself, the more the concept of self encompasses. The truly great person feels all Klal Yisrael, indeed, the entire world is part of himself. And that's really our goal. You know, I've made mention before, it's one of my favorite anecdotes of being many, many years ago, almost 20 years ago, on Rosh Hanikra. And being in one of those Kodak moments, I don't know if we use Kodak moments anymore, but you got the picture, without a pun intended, of, and Mama's sitting there and watching in front of our eyes in this order, this piece of Rav Shkap that Rav Lev quotes, Mama's in front of our eyes. First was a group of high school kids. Each one stood there and asked their friend to take a picture of them in front of the scene. They left. The next group was a family with Knei Nahara, a lot of kids. Mom lines up the kids and takes a picture of the kids in front of this beautiful scene. Finally, an elderly couple come. And what do they take a picture of? The scene itself. And that's the progression in life, one step beyond the other. Life is about moving beyond self. You know, I'll add here in parentheses, this is just amusing, take it or leave it, parentheses. I admit, I live in a bubble. Okay, I said it. I confess. So I don't know what goes on in the world. Okay, that's my reality. Baruch Hashem. So I was at the Kotel a few weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I saw for the first time, and my kids laughed at me like, you know, this is old hat. But okay, I'm a little bit, you know, a gadget which holds your, you know, smartphone, your, so that you don't have to ask somebody to take a picture for you. It's like an extended hand. I'm sure all of you know what I'm talking about. I don't even know how it works, but it just snaps the picture for you. So you don't need to have that long hand anymore. And you know what, my friends, and this really disturbed me. You don't have to ask anybody to take a picture for you. Ah, you'll say, isn't that nice? You don't have to bother anybody. No, there's something wrong in this picture. It's all about self. It's all about me. It's all about I can do it. Where is moving beyond the self? And he quotes here, a baby enters this world with a clenched fist. After 120 years, part of the preparation for burial includes the opening of the deceased hands. A person comes into this world concerned only with his own needs and desires. His fist is clenched tight. He is closed unto himself. As he matures, he slowly opens the fist to reach out, to extend himself to others, to embrace an entire world that is concerned. He must exit this world with an open hand. And I think with this computer age of selfies and all of this smart chat or whatever it's called, it's about me and taking pictures of me and me, me, me. When are we breaking out of the me, the I, the we, that just I, stop it already. In my humble opinion, this is my last musing, and then I'll be back on the text. One of the most important things that I really tried, tremendous yatzat to Shemayim v'chasdei Hashem, to teach my kids more than anything else, there's a world outside of yourself. Be alert to their needs. Be alert to their emotional needs, not only physical needs, and be able to be attuned, because if you don't have this, then where are you going? You know what godless is? Godless is to be able to see the neshama on somebody else, to be able to help somebody else, to be able to move beyond yourself, to be able to move beyond being judgmental. Hagadol by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be able to give to others. Now in 30, I quote a source from Rav Freifeld, and he says, about 100 years ago, there was a man called Rav Nachum Ingrando, sitting in Russia. They called him Rav Nachumke, an affectionate form of his name. He was a big Talmid Chacham and a big Baal Chesed. He was not a rabbi. He was the shamish of the shul. He took care of the needs of the shul. He saw the shul should be clean. There should be wood in the stove. In those days, in a place, there were oil burners. They had wood-burning stoves. You had to buy wood or go out into the forest to collect it in order to heat your house. For many families, finding wood for their stoves is not a simple matter. You know what Rav Nachum used to do? He used to run around the city raising money in order to make sure there was wood at the window of every home. He made sure that every orphan and widow had firewood, and that everyone who needed warm clothing and boots would have them. Day and night, he was busy doing chesed. Now, here's the key. Source number 33. We all know that the Chafetz Chaim, however, we know he's a tzaddik of the highest order, he's a genius in Torah, he's the biggest man of his generation. Well, the Chafetz Chaim used to spend a few days in Grodno every year just to observe how Rav Nachum did Chesed. It was not an easy thing to travel in those days. It wasn't like, you know, get into your car, 2 hours later you're there. In those days, travel a few dozen miles was very difficult. You had to travel by horse and buggy on a muddy, rutted road. Chafetz Chaim did it because he had just to see how Rav Nachum did Chesed. He had to learn from him. He knew the asterisks that he needed to watch him if he was going to learn how to feel, how to empathize, how to extend himself. Now, what would we say if the Chafetz Chaim, who was one of the greatest Gedolei Hador, had to learn from a Shamit on what it means to really be a Baal Chesed? Manu Maranan, what do we say about ourselves? And this is something that if you want to, and hopefully all of us want to reach the path of Godless. So yes, it's about extending out, and yes, it's about learning from others, watching others, being able to apprentice under others who are Baalei Chesed, and watch them, and learn from them, and be inspired by them. That's what we need to do. Every community has people who are in the Bikur Cholim, in Hakdasat Orchim, in Hakdasat Kala, whatever it is, whatever draws you, watch these people, see, learn. And this is how we, like the Chafetz Chaim, are going to flex these particular muscles. So, my friends, what we've seen here is that the noi, the outer beauty, is important and makes an impression. We see that Godless, on the first level, is somebody who's kadosh upnimi, whose whole mindset is on the spiritual mindset. That's where their attract is on. That's where their focus is on. They live in a different dimension. And when you're in this dimension, you don't leave the base of Mikdash. You are the link between the higher worlds and the lower worlds. These are people who try to mimetake in the sin of Adam HaRishon, that we should be living a more spiritual life and not get caught up in the mundane physicality for mundane physicality's sake itself, as we spoke about last week. On the second level, a gadol is somebody who, like the Kohen Gadol who wore the choshen, was able to really feel empathic toward the needs of another person. And that's what we have to feel. We really have to extend ourselves outward, like the Chafetz Chaim, be able to see other people. And this is what the greatness of the Kohanim were. They didn't come in contact with death. Death is when the physical and the spiritual are disconnected. Their whole focus was being able to see the spiritual within the physical. Finally, as our final idea, Ben Adam L'Atzma. A gadol is someone who works on himself. We spoke about that the Kohen Gadol had to have these qualities, like a Navi. He had to have koach, physical strength, noi, beauty, chokhma, wisdom. And the Turei Zahav points out, take it or leave it, that the words, V'Kohen Me'achav, if you use all the letters, has the words Koach, Noi, and Chachma, strength, beauty, and wisdom, with the letters Hu, Hei, Vav, He, Aleph, that are left over, which obviously is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Kohen Gadol knew that all of these things came as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Chazal clearly established Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, which most of the Farsim here quote, he is the classic source on this, that strength is an essential prerequisite for both the priesthood and prophecy, Source 37. What is the connection between physical strength and these spiritual vocations? The Rambam interprets the strength mentioned here as being a moral nature. Gibor minosav, lo yitzra miskaber alav, b'davar shiva'olav, strong in character, evil inclination, holding no sway over him in any aspect. However, the proof points to a physical strength, what the Mishnah brings, what the Medrash brings down, is that Aaron was able to lift up an inordinate amount of Kohanim in a very short amount of time, and he had to wave them in many different directions. And we're talking about physical strength. So hold on, when we talk about Gevura, that Aaron, a Kohen Gadol, had strength, was it physical strength, like literally lifting up all these Kohanim, or was it spiritual strength that he had to be misgaber on his Yetzer? So the answer, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, is really both. That Gevura referred to is the concentration, the asterisk in 37, of all one's skills, strength, and abilities brought to bear toward the attainment of the goal and the task to be achieved. It is indeed, in a sense, the physical strength, but not merely the physical manifestation thereof. It's rather, here's the key, double underline, the strength exercised to overcome the body's natural laziness and a nurse show, what we call Atlas. How does Atlas entrench itself in one's personality? How does it retain its hold on man? So there's a pasuk in Mishlei. I pass by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. The Atzel, the lazy, is compared to a person who's chaser lev, devoid of understanding. Neglect and laziness are a result of apathy and a profound lack of sensitivity. It's only by being totally, completely conscious of the consequences of Atzlus that one can attempt to overcome it. Shlomo sums up the experience as, I looked upon it and took it as a lesson. The key to self-improvement is the actual, the asterisk, second asterisk, and 38, the actual perception, understanding of the consequences of Atzlus. Its culmination lies in applying its lesson to one's own deficiencies. There are many rationales that a person uses. There are many excuses. But as the very famous Ramban in 39 notes, the counter of this Atzlus, right? I looked at the field, it's not growing, you don't really care. The counter to this is the people who built the Mishkan. The Chumash described them as Sher Nisa'ol Libo, their heart carried them. So notes the Ramban. What does this mean? Were these people trained in Egypt in this craftsmanship and working and sculpting, etc.? Of course not. But Asher Nisa'ol Libo, they weren't lazy. They said, if this needs to get done, we are ready to do it. It is the concentration and focusing of all one's energies toward the desired goal. This can apply both to physical powers and to strength and character in overcoming one's evil inclination. Asterisk in 39, both of these strengths are rooted in the concentrated effort of the person. Just as Atzlus, laziness, brings about the deterioration of a person, Zrizus, alacrity, zealousness elevates a person to a level of prophecy. The rest is Fatena of Schlesinger, Shlita, in source number 40, develops this, and he says that what a person really desires to do, they will get done. If a person is machshiv, he really feels that something's important, he's going to put his energy to it, and he's going to be successful in it. And he says, all we have to do is pitchu lipeta kechudo shamachat, open up a little opening, enough for an eye's needle, and Hashem will do the rest. And this is the whole idea of the Pesach Sheni, again on the week of Parshat Emor, the fifth week of the Sfira. Like, suddenly Hashem says, okay, you missed your first chance, you can have a second one? Yes, because this is what they really desire. And when Hashem saw that this was what they really desired, then it became a reality. You want to know what Gevura is? Gevura, strength, is putting one's efforts and focus exactly in where one needs to be. You'll note that 40 or 41, this happens once in a blue moon, are the same exact source. So I'm just going to add here what should have been 41. Didn't make it, but we'll do it outside. It's a Manchester Rav who speaks about the Chazal that said that the people, the leaders of that generation of Moshe and Yoshua, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, they say, oh, woe to the humiliation. Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun, and Yoshua is compared to a moon. Ay, we've fallen. So the Manchester Rav explains, that's not an insult to Yoshua. It's really a comment about themselves. What they're saying is, we look at Yoshua, and we realize he was not the greatest of all people. But he had the greatest drive and determination. Woe to the humiliation of us, that had we only had this drive and direction, we could have reached the level of Yeshua to be the sun, the moon compared to the sun. That's the greatest of accolades. But all of us could have reached that. What were we missing? We were missing this determined effort. And that is what a gadol is about. You want to know what a gadol is about? On the first level, it's Kadosh Upnimi, holy inner, 100%. And the second, Gadol, is somebody who cares about other people, who goes beyond themselves. And on the third level, a Gadol is somebody who's totally focused on being able to do the best of their ability, whatever is put in front of them. And he brings down here, right above, in the double underline above 44, Shigadola Yisrael Osime Koma Shibichotama Tivit Laso. This is the difference between a gadol and a regular person. A gadol does all they're able to do. Umamela Mushbahim Harbeyoter Mishabadam, because they push themselves above and beyond, they're gifted with things that regular people don't have. And he quotes here from Rav Gifter Zalman. Ha minimum hachi pachot, the basic minimum, bare minimum that Hashem wants from us, zu a maximum sheyesh bekocheinu, is the maximum we have in our ability. That's the bare minimum that we have to give. And the example that he brings here in 44, the old Moshe Rav Scheinerman, is the example of Basya by Paro, talking about extending one's hand. Mm-hmm. Right? She sees the Teva, the Ark of Moshe, this little baby. She wants to save the baby. Her hand can't reach that far. Vatishlach and Amata, she reaches her hand to the extent it can go, and suddenly her hand becomes elongated and she's able to reach the basket. You tell me it's a miracle? Says the Moshe, no. This is the idea of Habal Latar Messiah Biyato. As Reish Lakish says, one who wants to purify themselves, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the ability to help you. This is in the natural order. When you extend yourself beyond what you can do, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do the rest. After all, in 47, the Cholos Levavos note, Hadam Oseh Mashi Bechoto, a person has to do what they can do. The Rakshi Avin Hadam Shirusimito Alamalam and Derechateva. Results aren't on our hand, but what is in our hand is to give our all. Vaikar Tsarich Ladad, and the key we have to know, second paragraph from 47. Shadam Tsarich Lishof Lagil Dargos Nalos. Even if a person feels like I can't, at least want it. Asher mitzara teva achen ein bekocheinu lasoda tepulor nidrasho l'shem agat ma'ilor elu afilu ken yeshorech lishof l'gir lehem. Even if you say, I'm not there, I'm not holding there. Okay, but you desire, or you want to be? That's what, double underline, ki tzarich l'latachu tzarich lasoda tamutalala ve'ilu tozvelu tozo matzav enam bi'adam elu b'dei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Hashem wants from you is to give your all. What happens beyond that? It's not in your hand. As we've quoted before from the Saba of Narvada, I never ask myself if I'm able to do something, but rather, do I need to do something? If I need to do it, then I'm able to do it. And Hashem will give me the ability to do it. And that way he was successful and built hundreds of yeshivas. This has to be our mantra. As Rav Feinfeld notes, Chavavos, a person should ask himself, he should think in question, he should take stock of who he is regarding his avoda. What can I do? What's available to me? And notes the Sichos Bavarat Hashem, Rav Meislich, in Source 49. Hashem puts it in all of us, kochos, abilities above the natural, right? We use, like, what do they say, 10% of our brain power? Hashem puts in us tremendous energy. And we know this. If any of you have ever pulled an all-nighter in college, maybe a few all-nighters, you know. Oh my gosh, how did I was able to stay up? Because there's a lot more in us than we recognize. And that's true spiritually as well. Ramayana speaks about that the Mem Tet, 49 days of counting, Mem Tet Monim, 49-day count, is really the word Matmonim, the treasures. These are hidden treasures in Sefiras HaOmer. This is the times, the trampoline effect that we reach much higher. To ask myself, what are my kochos hanefesh? Am I utilizing them to the fullest? Am I pushing myself? Am I really actualizing the entirety of my being? Am I tapping into the entirety of who I am? Am I trying new things? Am I trying to expand? Or it's the same old? And now we understand on our final idea, on this last level, why they did not come in contact with death. Perhaps we can say, as Rabbi Tat speaks about it, living inspired, there's no negativity, 46, in the moment of new creation. While the energy of creativity is flowing, depression and despair are impossible. The spiritual root of depression is the lack of growth in the personality. When time ticks away and nothing new is being built, when all is static, the neshama feels the cold hand of death. The Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, was one who was always built on newness, always built on pushing himself beyond his limit. He never came in contact with death. He never came in contact with the death of himself, that death or that part of us that's never actualized, never used, and just remained dormant and stagnant. And this, my friends, I believe is such a gewaltig message from us. One phrase, the Kohen is exalted above his brethren. If I Kohen HaGadol Me'achav, what does it mean to be a Kohen Gadol? We don't have Kohanim Gadolim in our day and age, granted, but we have Gadolim, and we have great people. And what makes a person gadol is very much the qualities we saw in Aaron HaKohen. Being connected to spirituality, and that's one's focus in life. Being connected to helping other people, moving beyond the self, opening up that clenched fist hand, being able to include others, being able to see the goodness in others, the spirituality in others, and finally being a growth-oriented person, being able to say, like they said about Yeshua, he wasn't the smartest, he wasn't the brightest, but he had that desire, that she'ifa, to have a desire, matai yagir masai masai vosai, when am I going to reach greater heights than I am? How can I push myself more? How can I expand myself more? How can I be able to tap into things I haven't tapped into? When you're able to say this, you don't feel that part of death in you, and you're able to reach a taste of what Godless is all about, and my bracha to all of us, is that all of us, Zehakatan, all of us who are Ketanim, Gadol Yeh, that we should reach in our own lives all different aspects that we spoke about today on these levels of being a Gadol B'Israel.